Hi, everyone. I'm Sydney Long, guard at Gibson Southern High School. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up last year, and it helped my team and I so much, especially this past season. Our team worked extremely well together. We all played for each other instead of for ourselves. Doing Lead 'Em Up almost every week was able to help us work on communication and many other things. For me, Lead 'Em Up taught me everything I needed to become a great leader and teammate. It helped me make sure I walked into practice and games with energy and ready to go, which helped everyone on the team do the same.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey, thank you for spending some time with us today. I'm excited for today's conversation, joined by my good friend, Chris Woodside. And Chris is someone, if you listen to the Hardwood Hustle, back in the day, we had Chris on as a guest, and we shared the story of Chris traveling around the country, sleeping on in his car, sleeping on couches as he searched and went looking for a coaching position as a college basketball coach. Love that story of inspiration. But in addition to that cool story of Chris, Chris is also a legend in the leadership space. He's currently up in teaching, sports management professor at St. Joseph's College of Maine, assistant women's basketball coach up there as well. Currently working on his doctorate, will soon be titled the label doctor in sports leadership as he's currently working on his dissertation. Chris and I have now known each other for 5+ years, I would say. And you recently joined me down in New Hampshire as we had a chance to work at Sanborn Regional High School. You were in the area. You just finished coaching a game the night before. You asked if you could sit in on the sessions, and we always have great conversations, Chris. And that was actually a really cool day because as you were there observing and taking notes, it actually worked out that, you know, you were able to participate in some of the lessons and the teaching and all that. And one of the things that you shared that day, which I thought was really powerful, and we kind of bookmarked it and said, we need to record on this episode. You talked about the 4 roles of leadership that you have been finding through all your research as you build out this dissertation. Before we even begin on those 4 roles, talk about what you're currently researching in your dissertation, because you are in the thick of it.
Yeah, definitely in the thick of it, in the process of data analysis. Finished my interviews and analysis, and I'm really glad to be on here again, chatting with you. My research, we run a leadership academy here at the college, and I'm the co-facilitator for the leadership. Very similar to, your Lead 'Em Up program in the sense where we talk about meeting regularly. So we meet with athletes biweekly for hour and a half sessions, all teams together, individuals from each of the teams, and, trying to develop leadership. And I want to see, how is that impacting their self-efficacy, their belief in their self and their leadership skill? Because I have seen plenty of research that shows, the more confident we are in something, the more likely we are to do it. So is this training helping them be more confident? And so, in the thick of it so far, some early results are showing some pretty positive things. But through that research, as you mentioned, I was made aware of these 4 different roles potentially that an athlete can fit. And I already knew that there's formal leaders and informal leaders on a team. We've talked about that before. Oftentimes we only think about the captains, but there are a lot of informal leaders. And studies show that actually 66% of athletes fill some sort of leadership role. A study by Lughead found that 66%, as reported by the athletes. So when I poll all the athletes on a team and say, hey, which of your teammates fill this leadership role? Think about that. 2/3 fill a role. And so, further just, I would say, charged me up to say, like, we need to be teaching leadership to everybody because there's more than one type of role.
Yeah, and let's talk about those 4 roles, because I thought this was really fascinating. Through your studies and such, what are those 4 roles of leadership within the team environment?
Yeah, so Franson and her team found 4 roles. The first one is what they call the task leader. And they identified...
Who found it?
Franson, F-R-A-N-S-E-N. Franson and her team, they did a cross country study. So this involved worldwide study of different teams. They used, for this one, was soccer-based teams to try to determine this. And they found these four areas. And so again, number one was task leader. And that was the person who filled all kind of the tactical stuff, your X's and O's person, if you will, within a team. The second role was the motivational leader. And so they identified this as the person who was kind of the encourager, the person in practice and stuff, was doing all the rah-rah stuff. You said you feel really drawn to that personally, that motivational. The second one was the social leader. And that leader helped with relationships and conflict management away from the field of play. So those, all that time, you know, when we're spending away from maybe the court or field, they're the ones that are really big on developing relationships amongst their teammates and helping them deal with conflict management. And then lastly, the last role was the external leader. And that was outward facing. So they dealt with the public. So anyone that might have to deal with the media, have to deal with outside organizations or people who were not a part of the team, they were the ones that were the go-to when dealing in those situations.
And what did the results, so the four roles, task, motivational, social, and external, what does everybody play every role? Are there findings that say you play some more than others? You know, what do the findings say about it?
Yeah, and this was one of the coolest things for me. So, it's, you know, we often think about, hey, there's a leader, and obviously they're a leader, right? They're our number one leader, and they fill. They found only 2% of respondents. And again, this is a worldwide study, thousands of teams. 2% said that one athlete filled all four roles. So that means on 98% of this thousands of teams, more than one person filled a leadership role. In fact, over 50% had multiple people for different roles. So they saw four different people for each of the four roles. So that's a pretty, you know, to me, interesting finding, exciting finding too, to be able to work with young athletes to say, you know, you don't have to be one person to be a leader. There are a lot of other roles in this. And so how can we, you know, build that up?
I am fascinated by this. And when I first heard it, Coach, it struck me, because I'm a firm believer that pretty much everybody plays a role. Okay. I understand what you're saying here. You know, may not be 100% everyone's performing, but relatively speaking, everyone needs to contribute in their specific way, right? Within their lane, within their skill set, within their bent from a personality standpoint, things of that nature. Everybody's got to play a role. And we have just been so kind of drawn to this notion that leaders, that it gets reserved for one or two. And it's usually built around this stereotypical vision of what we visualize a leader being, right? I think about a Drew Brees, right? The rah-rah of the New Orleans Saints. He's our leader, right? He's our leader. He's the one who speaks up. He's the one that's kind of out front. We do that. We narrow it down to this small number, but what you just communicated is that the reality is only 2%, which is like the most rare and unique individuals in the world, essentially, you could say. Only 2% of us actually own and possess the skill set to lead in the full spectrum of the four roles, which tells us we all need to play a part. And I think, Coach, what got me is because, you know, I just looked at it internally there for when I first heard it and was trying to be self-aware. And, you know, I want to be a great leader. Okay. I want to, you know, I want people to view me as a great leader. And somebody say, oh, Adam's a good leader. The reality is I may only do two of those four really well. Right. Okay. You know what? Maybe I'm motivational. I don't know. I'll let other people determine that. Okay. But, you know, that's one that I'm drawn to, the motivational. I love the social, right? I'm a people person. I want to develop relationships. I want to build that bond, that brotherhood, that sisterhood, that family environment. So when I looked at it, Chris, I was like, wow, what a great reminder that it takes more than just a skill set in one area. Because you know what? I may be motivational and social, I may not be that task-oriented one. I may not be that X's and O's, that strategy, that detail-oriented task leader. Maybe I have a little bit of it, but not a lot. The external, you know, kind of, I don't know all that would include per se, but, it, you know, I don't view it as like my ultimate strength the way the other two. So it hit me, Coach. And I think that's why, you know, I said, let's record on this, because if it's resonating with me, it's probably resonating with others as well.
Yeah. You know, I think it's huge. You know, another piece, talk about 2% with, you know, one person filling all four roles along with that. And again, I think it's important to understand within this study, this is athletes self-reporting. And they're doing what they call a social network analysis. So each of them are listing off, like, within, you know, their team, where each person rolls. So it's not like a coach came up with this. These are the athletes reporting how they feel. And they're saying that multiple people are filling these roles. These are people that are informal leaders, if you will, right? Not the formal, not listed as captain. In fact, only 1%, again, think about how tiny that is, a thousand team, only 1% of people said that the captain was actually the best leader on their team. Think about that, right? As coaches, we're regularly saying, hey, this captain, you know, we maybe hold that in high regard. And I know you've had some great conversations around, should we have captains or should we not, before, which I think is a great topic. But I think this study shows, right, the importance of multiple people taking that role of leadership on your team, and that leadership looks different for a variety of people. You know, research study, right? We're saying 66% of athletes fill some sort of role on the team. 2/3 of the people are filling a role during the pandemic. I know you watched, you know, the Jordan documentary, right? We're sitting there and it stood out to me, right? Jordan had his way of leading. Pippen, what another completely different way, right? He's going to pick you up beside. I would, you know, reading this, I think he'd be the social one. He's trying to build the relationships. Hey, you're okay. Jordan's about the task, right? When you hear him go, very much the task. Then, you know, he's not worried about encouraging you. It's you help me win or not. So it's interesting.
So how should we, recognizing that, how should we manage according to that? Like, how should that change how we approach our teams? Should we begin to communicate, almost make it permissible not to try to be one of the other areas if you lean towards one? Do we want our players to double down on their strength? Do we use this as a reference to encourage others that may not be the motivational person to say, it's okay, because you know what you do really well? You crush the social. You're always hosting the team dinner, you know. Yeah, you're not the most outgoing, loud, but you're doing so good the social. We need that. Keep going. Do we double down? Do we try to diversify? Does a college coach that's recruiting, do they try to recruit filling all four of these? Like, how do we begin to take this data and actually allow it to change how we approach things?
You know, I think for me, it was eye-opening, because I'm like you. I'm very much a outward, extroverted person that always viewed leadership as, hey, who's going to be the loudest? We talk oftentimes, like, quiet gym is a losing gym, and you're getting on people about being loud. But then as I'm, you know, reading some of these findings, I'm realizing, you know, maybe I didn't see leadership the right way. And maybe it is important to recognize the value that maybe the quiet leader has. And I think sometimes we can ostracize some of our athletes that have great leadership potential because they don't lead in the way that we view leadership. They lead in a different way. And so you're talking about, like, what do we need to do? I think first we need to recognize that there are other ways. Right? That's not just our way of leadership. And we should start empowering people to that, you know, leaning to your strengths. I'm a big person in business and in life that we should focus on our strengths and use strength-based leadership. And what a great way to say, you know what, I see you developing those relationships. I think about my team right now. I have two athletes that are just phenomenal. I know they're doing things all behind the scenes, getting everyone together. I heard them on the ride back. You know, we had a pretty poor game. We won, but a poor game on Saturday, played our worst defensive game of the year. And, you know, they were talking about setting up Galentine's Day for this upcoming Saturday, right? Everyone else kind of feeling down. And that was the first thing they thought, you know, let's think of something fun. And they're not the most vocal person in practice. They're not necessarily going to sit down and talk X's and O's with us. But man, how important is that for our overall team, you know, unity and cohesion of having that leader? And so I thought, wow, we really should lean into that. We kind of talk about the importance of those roles. You know, players felt like the task leader was the most important. That person who knows the tactical stuff is the most important. Oftentimes that is the person that's identified as captain. But the one that had the biggest impact on whether they were cohesive as a unit on the floor was your motivational leader. So as we get through a tough practice, the motivational leader helped us get through the practice. The one that kept us together as a relationship and most important, and our social cohesion factor, was the social leader. So look at this, we have three people that are really important. We can't do one size fits all. We definitely have to diversify. We definitely have to recruit and fill people who fit those different positions, I think.
I think this also can be freeing for people, right? Where you're almost just, you're narrowing down their responsibility to be more manageable, to fall more in line with, as you mentioned, their strengths. And I think that's a huge thing. I think one of the reasons, well, I'll say this, when you ask most young people to just to describe leadership, it is so far reaching. It's so far reaching. It has so many components and dynamics and nuance in it that it almost can paralyze people. Like, how do I become a leader? It's this huge, daunting, very elusive, very hard to understand kind of concept in life. So it can become intimidating. But one thing that this does, it almost simplifies it. And it relieves some pressure that, you know, maybe I am on the team. I love people. Let's say I'm a player, right? I love people. I'm very relational. Like, I'm always setting up like the game night, the gaming nights, right? For everyone to come over to the house and play video games, you know, and I'm active on the text chat. And, you know, at times I'll say in the text chat, hey, well, let's all wear the same thing tomorrow, right? So we, you know, just little things to kind of keep the social aspect going, you know. But I'm not the rah-rah guy. My coach keeps asking me, you got to step up as a leader. You got to step up as a leader. And I'm feeling this, like, this tension because, like, I want to do my part. I'm trying to do my part. I think I'm doing good. I think it. But my coach keeps telling me, step up as that leader. And I don't quite know where or how or what it should look like. It's not really in line with my personality. And now I have anxiety over it. Now I'm actually like discouraged as a leader. I thought I was doing good. Now I feel like I'm in this weird place, this little limbo period where I don't know if I am doing good. Coach wants more. I don't know how to get more. You know, imagine the conversation that was simply just, hey, you know, I was talking to so-and-so and they were telling me how you've just done an incredible job just really bringing this group together. I didn't even know because I'm not on your players text chat, but yeah, apparently you're like always setting up the game nights and, you know, always just kind of like talking about the big game on Saturday, like, you know, making fun little wagers, you know, hey, you know, talking about rivalries on the college level or the pro level, just a lot of fun stuff that's just keeping the social group together. I had no idea you were doing all that. Like, is that natural for you? Is that part of your personality? And the player's like, oh yeah, you know, I just love my guys, you know, and love my girls. And just, I love just kind of building that team environment. And imagine this relief when the coach says, you know what? Keep doing it. You're leading exactly the way we need you to lead. You are contributing in such major ways when you do that. And keep going. Keep going. Like, imagine just leaving it as that. I think a couple of things happen. One, you now just, once again, you've now freed them from any pressure of thinking they need to be something that they're not, right? You've eliminated that possibility of trying to push them in areas where they may not be and the tension and anxiety that could cause from it. I would also imagine you actually get them to double down on their strength. Then all of a sudden you walk away from that and it's like, wow, one, I like it. One, I do it naturally. And now coach endorsed me and told me to be that, like, that person for us. Man, I'm going to crush it. I'm going to exceed whatever leadership expectation was laid out for me in this area. I'm going to exceed it because I just hit my flow. I'm ready. It's my flow state. I'm in the zone. This is where I lead the best. It could be game changing, Chris.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. The author, Dr. Henry Cloud, has a quote, and it says, in the end, as a leader, you are always going to get the combination of two things, what you create and what you allow. It's creating the environment that we want through vision, mission, strategy, communication, and even training. But simultaneously, it's about addressing the things, the behaviors, and the actions that do not align with those things. Great leaders don't make exceptions, they don't look the other way, and they don't shy away from accountability. Because what we allow is what we will continue to get, and what we accept becomes the standard. So we need to create what we want and be very careful with what we allow. Now let's jump back into the episode.
Absolutely. We've taken something that, as you mentioned, was an anxious point for somebody, something that made them really uncomfortable, and instead helped them lean into their strength and made them feel valuable. You know, when we can make our athletes feel value on our team, we change their whole experience, right? How they view themselves, the confidence they have in themselves, how they can show up as, they're like, man, I have value to this team. And I think, you know, one of the interesting pieces to me is someone that fills this role, you know, especially those motivational or social, as you talked about, probably might not be the best player, right? Who's already getting some accolades because of how they're playing. And maybe they're out very outwardly, you know, bombastic. We always say, hey, what a great leader. They're so loud, right? We feel that way. I get people tell me the same things. I always have the energy and enthusiasm. Now we're starting to recognize, hey, you know what? John's a great leader too. And they're like, what do you mean, man? I haven't seen John talk at all. Oh yeah, but what you didn't know is John gets everyone together on Friday night. John sends everyone a little, hey, you're doing great text after the end of the game. Oh, really? Yeah, John's leading his way. And now John's like, man, I'm going to do anything to be a part of this team because I am leading. I am a part of this. I'm making a huge difference. And I just think, you know, that small change of recognizing that it's not just one person that fills this leadership role, that, hey, you know, this can be, everybody can fill a role. And maybe it's not everybody, like I said, you know, 66% say they fill some role. That's a lot of people, right? 2/3 of your team filling some role. Now, can we make them feel value in that role too and understand, like, it's not just that person with the title?
Yeah, I've got a couple additional thoughts and great points you just brought up there, Chris. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about this balance between letting them live in their lane and their comfort zone and their strength. And then when do you begin to push? Okay, because there could be moments where you need to push them out of their comfort zone. And I don't think you just let them live in their comfort zone and their strength. So I was processing, well, what do you do? How do you manage that? And I think the big thing is, if I'm a player and I'm really good at the social that we just talked about, okay, and that is my lane, that is where my strength is, and that's where everyone's kind of encouraging me to continue to thrive in. Got it. On the same page. I need to constantly be surveying the team, surveying the scene, and making sure that we are performing at a high level in the other areas. Mm. And not saying that I have to lead those other areas, but if I want to have a leadership mindset, and I want to have a mindset that is focused on us as a collective group reaching our full potential, you know, may not have the studies there, but let's just say it like it is. You probably need all four roles accomplished in order to reach your full potential. Okay. Right. So I need to be looking at it and making sure that we're growing in all four areas and reaching that potential. And if we are, I think I can sit back and stay in my lane and continue just thriving. So if I'm the social, we've got 2-3 guys or girls that are the motivational. I mean, man, you just know, everyone knows that, like, and they do a great job.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I don't need to get there. Okay. But if I'm sitting here and I'm the social, and I notice that we still don't have the motivational, I need to care more about the team than my own comfort zone. And I then at that point need to start challenging myself, start pushing myself to kind of push the limits of my comfort to try to get there. What are your thoughts on that dynamic?
You know, I love that. And here's one of my thoughts on that. I think when we start to recognize someone's strength and we're able to put it under this umbrella of leadership. So at first they came in and they thought leadership was everything. And that was just too big a concept for them. Now we kind of chunked it down and said, hey, leadership is these things. and you're doing this thing really well. And they're like, man, I am succeeding at this. Well, when I start to succeed at something, I'm willing to try something else because I believe I can be successful due to my prior success. Coach told me I'm a great leader because I've done this really well. You know what? Let's try this other thing too. And because I've seen some prior success and now it's been, you know, clear to me what this looks like, I think people are more likely to step outside that comfort zone. I think what stops people from doing it is they don't see themselves as ever being able to be successful at it. Because again, they're looking at that giant picture of what they think leadership is. You know, is it Tom Brady running in and getting everyone together? It's like, man, that just can't be me. I don't visualize that. But instead, if you make it so I can see myself in that role, and I've done that by chunking it down a little bit. Hey, you know what? I am a leader. I can probably try that. Yeah, I can do that out. So that's what I think. We start by making it smaller to then help them take those easy steps to becoming, maybe they can now fill two roles, maybe three.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well said. Well said. Tom Brady's my guy. I think he does a pretty good job on all four, possibly.
He's probably in that 2%. I would guess he's probably
in that 2%. He's right. Like, he's motivational. I get the sense he's very social. He's always organizing the social gatherings. He seems very task oriented, right? Like film study, technical. He does a great job on the external, right? Being that ambassador. He's the 2%, which once again, that right there in and of itself is intimidating to try to accomplish. That's intimidating. Let's not ask our players to be the Tom Brady of leadership out of the gate. Okay.
Right.
That's a lot.
Absolutely.
That's a lot. You know, that's a rare, special human being that gets all four. So let's not ask all four, but a lot of times we do, right? We just want them to be everything in all things. Okay. And that usually doesn't produce success. Here's one of the other kind of thoughts that I have about this topic. I love the fact that we talk about these four roles here and the tendency for us not to be able to own all four of them. It produces a significant and healthy level of humility. When we sit back and someone may think like, oh, I'm the leader. Oh, I'm the leader of this team. Let's examine that, right? You know, now we can have a conversation and say, okay, all right. You may be a leader on the team. You may be viewed upon as the leader. Maybe to your point, Chris, you know, maybe they've got the motivational down, right? And that one tends to gravitate our attention. But, you know, hey, are you doing much from a social connecting perspective? Are you doing much from a technical, tactical, task-oriented, keeping us in line, details, blah, blah, blah? How are you doing there? Are you doing much from the external, outward facing, building this team from a community? Like, how are you doing there? It produces a really healthy level of humility, right? In which then we teach a concept called followership.
Huge.
And that level of humility actually increases their performance and their followership. So we say followership is one's performance level and following the leader, where we say, if we want to grow the team, it's not just on the backs and shoulders of the leader. The person that is being led has a responsibility in this as well, right? Because you could have the best leader. You could have Tom Brady in your locker room, but if I'm not willing to let Tom Brady lead me, it doesn't matter how good he is. I've got to do my part, okay? Mm-hmm. I can make Tom Brady's leadership struggle if I chose. I could make him discouraged as a leader if I chose. I could frustrate him as a leader if I chose, okay? So I play a role in this too. The reason I say it increases the followership is because I begin to realize that I'm not the one that's going to fit all of them. That the only way this will work is if we all play our part, right? And I'm going to acknowledge that I'm not the best in every area, which means if I'm not the best in every area, and I don't need to be that person in every area, you know what that means? Other people are going to own other areas. And if other people are owning other areas, I need to make sure that I'm giving them all of me when they lead me from that area. From that area. When they go and step out as that social leader for our team, I need to embrace it. Hmm. I can't have the ego think I'm the leader. No, because we already established. Now, you know what? You definitely dominate that side. But hey, we know so-and-so is stronger here. Let them go. Let them thrive. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, it changes your whole perspective. And it almost opens the door for other people owning parts of this process, which is critical.
Yeah, huge. You know, I thought you said it really well that time in Sanborn. You know, it's not that we lack people with leadership, it's we lack people who are willing to follow. And, you know, this does give you that opportunity to build on that. And, you know, earlier in this conversation, we talked about that person who, you know, maybe was uncomfortable, had anxious. Now, this is an opportunity to work with those other people that might have this, like, I've got it all already. Right? I was that person as an 18-year-old. Right? I got it all. I can do it all.
So
humility made me a better leader. Right? Once I realized, hey, I actually don't know it all. And I, you know, I need to step back. Like, that helped me grow as a person. And so I think you touch on it, you know, very eloquently. This can really help those people take the next step in their leadership. And, you know, we often talk, why do this, right? Obviously, we think it's helpful for our teams and it's helpful for the athletes. We're helping individuals become better. So whenever their sport stops, they're going to be productive members of society and they're going to be leaders within their workplace. And knowing when to follow and when to lead, and knowing that even in those settings, there's probably those same four roles in those settings when you work in an organization. You have someone that needs to know how to do tasks and make sure everything gets done on time. You have someone that's going to motivate everybody. You have someone that's going to bring the team together. And definitely in your organization, you need to have someone externally facing to make sure that you're fitting in with the community. Man, we can build that skill through sport, through leadership. We're helping people succeed for life.
Well said. Well said. Chris, this was great. You know, there was a lot of information. This absolutely has changed my thought process, changed my perspective. And I want to walk away from this episode just being even more intentional to make a point to not fall into the trap of wanting players to be all of it, right? And wanting them to be that super leader. And almost being okay with their weakness. And I say weakness with this thought in mind, immediately connecting that I think we may need to change the language of weakness.
I agree. I like using area of growth.
Okay, their growth area. That's fair. I'll go with that, right? Because that's one of the reasons why we're not okay with this four roles dynamic, is because if somebody is really strong in two, it means they're weak in the other two. And we find this tendency as a coach, as a leader, we need to improve weaknesses. I can't let my guy go out there, right, weak in certain areas. I got to improve it. I've got to develop it. So we aren't willing to okay that. We're not willing to like put our stamp of approval on this person when they're possessing such glaring quote unquote weaknesses. So we constantly tell them, you got to do more. You got to do more. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then we talk, that goes back to what we talked about earlier. There's a paralysis there. There's an anxiety there. There's a lot of kind of potential. So I just want to be more intentional in making sure I am celebrating the growth, the roles that they are performing in, and letting them know like their contributions through that. And how it's impacting us.
Yeah. And as a coach, the other intentional is you might actually have to look for some of these other things. The easy ones to see are going to be motivational and task, but can you spend time building relationships with your players to maybe find out about who's filling that social role and who might be filling some external role?
Yeah,
it's going to take a little work. Yeah.
I think it's totally fair and appropriate. Ask them, right? I think it's appropriate to take those four roles, list them out, and have your players rank themselves on that. Right? Which one do you like? Which of these is your strength? Like, which one is your more, but where are you most comfortable in these areas? Right? And then kind of maybe even build out from there. So I think there's a lot of value there. Chris, you know, we're absolutely going to get you on another episode here in the near future, right? Because I think there's a variety of topics that you and I talk about from time to time. There's a lot of things that you're going through in your dissertation. That you're learning, that are sticking out to you, that I think can generate some great healthy conversation and perspective for coaches. So I want to keep kind of digging in on that. And I appreciate your time today. Thanks for sharing your insight. And where can people find you, Chris, if they want to follow along?
Yeah, so my Twitter, CWoodside33. And you can also email me at St. Joe's, CWoodside@sjcme.edu if you have any questions. Glad to chat about leadership or sports, basketball. Obviously, love to chat basketball.
Hey, Chris, appreciate you so much. On behalf of the entire team, want to encourage coaches, have fun and lead them up.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.